Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. We are live from the beautiful Dunfanaghy Golf Club. It's for the Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic. And it's all about Ronald McDonald House. And I'm joined by Louise Quayle, who's Head of Development with Ronald McDonald House. Louise, lovely to see you.
Thank you very much for having us.
So talk to us about Ronald McDonald House and the work that it does.
So the Ronald McDonald House, we opened our doors in 2004 and we're located on the grounds of CHI in Crumlin. We look after 20 families every night. Since opening our doors in 2004, we've looked after over 5,300 families. 388 of those have been specifically from County Donegal, to make it very relevant to today.
Okay.
So Victor here beside me, he is a major champion of the work that we do. And it is himself that very kindly organised this golf classic to support the Ronald McDonald House.
In terms of the rooms that you're able to provide, have you the capacity to meet all demands at this point?
Unfortunately not, no. So as I said, we look after 20 families every night, and on a weekly basis we have to manage that very tightly, as there is a very lengthy waiting list. That could be anywhere from 10 to 20. We've seen it as large as 28 families on our waiting list at any one point. So building a new 52-bedroom house at the new Children's Hospital is going to open up a world of opportunity for us in order to serve and look after so many more families that desperately need it, actually.
What's the breakdown of funding for a project like that in terms of, I don't know, corporate funding, fundraising, etc.? I'm not looking for actual figures,
no.
But you're just getting a sense of the situation.
For the new house.
Yeah.
So the capital project, it's been in the making for well over 10 years, and it is a mix of all sorts of funding. We have never received government funding before, but because of the scale of this project, we are in partnership with the government and the HSE on this one. But that's only a part of it. The others is made up through major donors, individuals, all the amazing customers in McDonald's, and equally we have a lot of amazing corporate partners.
Ronald McDonald House is one of those organisations, isn't it, whereby it's important we talk about it now to get the word out there, but not everybody knows about it, but then something happens in someone's life and all of a sudden it becomes one of the most important things in their life at that time. It's one of those strange...
I think charity just naturally is in that space. Charity, to me, is one of those things. It's so personal. And you don't need to know about it until the day you need it. And then the day you need it, you're so glad that it exists and it is there. So for our families, a lot of people don't need to know about the Ronald McDonald House, but when they arrive in the back of an ambulance at 12 o'clock at night and they're thrown into a world of unknown, and a lot of our families are there for a very long period of time, and they don't just have one sick child. So we don't say, a family with a sick child is not a sick... It's not just a sick child, it is a sick family, and it affects the whole family. And the whole house is about keeping that family together as much as possible.
I want to, before I talk to our other in-studio guest here in a moment, I want to go to Gareth Nee, a Donegal man, of course, who's joining us remotely. Gareth, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time. Gareth, you're going to have to unmute for me, Gareth. My apologies, just so we can hear you. Right, just while he's doing that. It's not always as easy. It's fiddly enough on a phone on muting. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to send you a little message that might make it a little bit easier. As I say, Gareth Nee is going to be joining us very, very shortly indeed. If you've anything you wish to say, by the way, in relation to Ronald McDonald House, please get in touch with us. 086 60 25,000 is the details. Gareth, you are there now. Good morning to you.
Yes. Good morning, Greg. How's it going?
It was a team effort, my friend.
Sorry?
It was a team effort to get you unmuted.
Yes. Complicated as best as that.
Yeah, come here. I've spoken to you before, of course, and Gareth. Yeah. Ronald McDonald House will forever have, I was going to say a place in your heart, but a place in your family.
Oh, absolutely. Like, in a place in Noah's heart, for sure. Like, but yeah, you were just talking about, you know, the stress of the families going down to Crumlin Hospital, like, you know, and it was such a super, super stressful time. But I have to say, like, and I said to you before on the radio station, that once we entered the Ronald McDonald House, they just took away so much, the vast majority of that stress, and the stresses of staying somewhere and looking after us and being so close to, you know, like a 3-4 minute walk away, you know. It was a real lift for us, like, you know.
Because you uproot effectively, don't you? I mean, you know, it depends on the age demographic of the family, but for a lot of us, it would be effectively an uproot for an unknown period of time.
Yeah, like, because I mean, I think it was like 6-7 weeks at a time, like, and maybe a wee bit longer, so the last time. But, and like, I have another 4 kids as well, so 5 altogether. So it was a pretty stressful time regarding even the kind of logistics of what we do with the rest of the kids, like, you know. Sometimes we were split up, sometimes we were together, and the Ronald McDonald's were very good as much as humanly possible. They got us together, as you know, quite often, like.
Because you have to look after yourselves, to look after Noah, or to be there for Noah. And that's what this allowed for. It gave, you know, users, parents, a bit of a break. I know the kids, because we talked about it before, they have some great memories. And it kind of seems a little bit ironic, but you know what? There's nothing wrong with it either. They were able to sort of build their own more positive experiences at a very difficult time.
They loved the Ronald McDonald House, and even, you know, the months and even a year or two after it, some of my kids still ask to go down to the Ronald McDonald House, and that just kind of shows you the kind of environment that they provide. Like, you know, my kids loved it, and they had nothing but positive memories of it. There was no stress associated with it for my other 4 kids, whereas me and Natty, obviously, we knew the other side, you know, over by the hospital, but... My kids absolutely loved it, and they missed it, and they keep asking to go back.
The one thing, too, that, you know, I was going to say the world falls apart, but it must feel like that for a time. And then these organisations, and I think I did reference this with you the last time, Gareth, we spoke, but, you know, these organisations kick in. You know, in this case, it's Ronald McDonald House, but for other families, it's been other charities that are just there. It's like, very sadly, if you lose someone abroad, you know, there are amazing organisations like the Kevin Bell Trust that all of a sudden become apparent in your life, and they know what to do, and they make things different. It's astonishing. You know, a lot of it's volunteer work as well. It's astonishing that, you know, we're there for each other often, Gareth, when we need it.
Yeah, because, like, obviously, you know, when we first heard about Noah's condition, and, you know, I think obviously everything was medical orientated. And then when we did go down after he was born, he obviously had to get the helicopter down to Crumlin, like, but it kind of was only dawned on us at that stage. And, like, what about staying? What about accommodation? What about the kids? What about everything, like? And it was one of the nurses on the ward, I think, and she was obviously a liaison officer. I can't remember her name now, unfortunately, but she opened up the whole world of Ronald McDonald House to us, like. And I don't think I ever actually heard of it before, because, as you say, we're quite kind of, you know, protected from that, unless we're thrown into the mix of a condition for a child or something like that.
And, I think I've lost you there again. Just, Gareth, finally, how's everybody now?
I'm sorry?
How's everybody now?
Oh, yeah, they're great. Like, you know, Noah's doing swimming lessons at the minute, like, you know, which he's loving, like, you know, and he's going into first class now, the week after next, up in Lurgy Brack. And they're really good, as I said to you before, they're really good with him, and they look out for him, like, and he's playing a bit of football with Letterkenny Rovers.
All right, not so, like, bad. Things are
and
good.
It's great because, you know, when you look back at when, you know, his first surgery, you know, first week and then 3 months and then it was three and a half for the third surgery. You know, to play football a wee bit or to go swimming lessons, you know, these things were, like, you know, so far removed from our kind of thought process. But it's lovely to see that he's leading quite a good, normal enough life, like, you know.
Brilliant, okay. Listen, we need a bit of good news. Thanks very much for that, Gareth. Love to the family. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so very much indeed. Victor Byrne is the training manager with McDonald's, Letterkenny. Victor, you know, you work there, but, you know, this was an easy buy-in for you as well, given the amazing work the Ronald McDonald House does.
Yeah, well, Greg, thanks for your time again, and thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate what Highland Radio have done in regards to supporting this. You had myself and Garrett and it was Sean on you to launch this, and it was just, since that, it's just been so easy to do it. And you know, obviously, without the sponsors of today's event, like yourselves and iMotors, and there's a list there. There's a lot more. I don't want to forget anybody.
Well, I'll tell you, if you don't want to forget anyone, don't mention anyone.
Exactly.
Because, there is an awful lot of people that have come together to support this. Yeah. And I think that's really a testimony to the people that you've reached out for, but also their generosity, you know, be it in the media, be it in business. This is why, folks, it's so important to support your local businesses, because, you know, when something like this happens and you go around and say, listen, can you sponsor this or can you support that? It's those local businesses that put their hands in their pockets, and the local authority as well. The local authority members have been forthcoming as well. So I think when you look at a sheet like this, it just goes to show how important this issue is and how good you are at reaching people as well. Credit to you.
Yeah, well, I it was easy enough, but it's important to me because I've always known about Ronald McDonald House through work, and it's always been there, and we've always pushed it, and we used to do fun days and that, and then obviously to do the big golf in Dublin every year, and it was always my target to get to play in the golf, and I've played it in Dublin, and I've always said, and I told Louise one year, some years I'll have you in Donegal with a golf classic.
And here we are.
And she laughed every year. And so when Sean met me, and we just put it together. And you know, the support we got from, you know, not just the sponsors, but from the Fannahy Golf Club as well, have been really behind us here, just, you know, getting behind us. And it's important. And, you know, and today is about people enjoying themselves and having fun. And I know you've talked to the people from the golf club here. It's kind of a family atmosphere, some of them down here. And
it's chilled. It's a lot more chilled than a lot of the golf courses I've been to. And no shade. That's fine if that's their thing. But this is nice. I like it.
And it's just to make people feel welcome and to.
I didn't need to see your legs.
Oh well, I suppose that's true. if my wife's listening there, she warned me. She packed a pair of dresses. Shouldn't be wearing there. But anyway,
You look fantastic.
But what I will say is about like you alluded to there, and Louise did too, you know, when it comes to charities, there's all charities for all different, you know, different things, and everybody's, it's a pity that we have to do some of it, like, but it's great that we have the opportunity to do it, like, you know, and I know a lot of the families, you know, that, you know, have used the house and have come back and speak tons about it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll let you finish on a funny one. I do a lot, you know, in the background and bits and pieces like that, but this year I brought my daughter up to a concert in Dublin, and Louise has said to me, you know, because we wanted to talk about the golf, she said, sure, come over, I'll be in Smithfield. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll go over. I forgot it was the day of the Smithfield tower drop.
Okay.
So it's 200 feet. So I get there, and she says, are you going to do the drop now? And I kind of, well, I'm not sure. She says, no, we have a spot here. And I wasn't going to do it, and in fairness, my daughter Grace, she encouraged me.
I think Grace is 16, isn't she?
She's 16 tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow, so a big happy birthday to Grace. Is she here?
She's out there trying to sell raffle tickets for me.
Good stuff. That's the way you want it. But you mentioned the Dublin Golf Classic. There's qualification for that through this as well, too.
Yeah, well, to thank Louise for that.
Which is a nice
little... It was a no-brainer for Louise when I asked her, is it okay if I say... Okay. She says, of course, so thank you for that, Louise.
Victor's brilliant, Louise, and, you know, there's Victor scattered all around the country as well, isn't it? And they all come together, and fair play to you getting on the road and supporting people in person as well. And it's just keep doing it and doing it. And I think the fact that it's so oversubscribed at the moment, you know, really, it must be really difficult to try and manage, you know, accommodation for people when you don't have enough accommodation. So the sooner this new house is built, the better. Because sadly, very, very sadly, but often there are happy endings, like we heard from Gareth, sadly, people are always going to need Ronald McDonald House.
But as you say, it is a happy place. And actually, I think obviously families come to us at a very stressful time. But I suppose to end on a positive note, 80% of those families go home and their child is well and better, and they go home to start a new chapter in their lives.
Lovely.
And which is really, so when they're leaving the Ronald McDonald House, in the nicest sense possible, we say, we hope we never see you again.
Yes, it's one
but they're always welcome back for a cup of tea.
But as we heard from Gareth's kids, they can't wait to get back. All right, listen, Victor, we might touch base again before the end of the show. I'm not sure, but Victor Byrne, training manager with McDonald's in Letterkenny, and the man behind this one wonderful event on such a wonderful day too, Victor. That's one thing, as good as your planning is, you needed a bit of divine intervention on, but you got the weather.
Oh, absolutely. That's why my knees are so sore, Greg.
Yeah. I see your little blow-up thing out here. I haven't seen one person use it yet myself. It's like a blow-up dartboard. I'm the only one who's used it.
I have a few, but we're going to catch them as they come back in, because
right,
they have to walk up that way. So it's a bit of fun. We'll get you out, Greg. And,
I've been practicing, so
no that's
bother.
Okay. You know?
All right,
and
listen.
If you beat Sean, you'd be doing well. So.
I could beat him with my hand behind my back. All right, Victor Byrne, trading manager with McDonald's Letterkenny. He's referencing our CEO, Sean Quinn. He's out playing today. Decided that the best time to play golf was when we were on air, which is fine. I mean, that's perfectly fine, isn't it? I want to thank Gareth and E as well, who joined us remotely, and Louise Quayle, who's head of development at Ronald McDonald House, heading into a busy time in terms of fundraising and planning and organisation and everything. It's to deliver a bigger and a better Ronald McDonald House close to the new Children's Hospital for when it is needed. Okay, we'll be back with more, including some live music here on the 9 till noon show, but let's take a quick break.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
Okay, the time now is, where's the clock, 11:21, and we've got very busy people in front of us, amongst them Claire and Jubal Williamson. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you getting on?
Good, thanks. Thank you for having us.
Good.
Thank you.
Jubal, tell us about your business.
We are a South African influence restaurant based in Chrysler. So we do tapas-style plates and everything is cooked over the fire.
It's proved incredibly popular, hasn't it?
Yeah, the support from the locals and everyone around has been great, and we've just ran with it, and the opportunity came up, and we just haven't stopped. So,
was it seen at all as anything of a risk? You know, I mean, sometimes people can have quite, you know, underdeveloped palates. Let me put it to you like that.
Yeah, we thought that you know, sometimes you have to take the risk, but. Thankfully, it's worked out for us, and you know, people seem to enjoy it. We try to have a nice, relaxing atmosphere, so that's kind of what we just tried to build on. So
yeah, but
it's been
Claire,
good so far.
Yeah, Claire, your background is in tourism and hospitality, so you do research well done, I'm sure.
I went to University of Ulster, and in my placement year in America, that was where I met Jubal. And we lived together and worked together, and we were in the States for a while. And then Jubal came back to Ireland, and we went back to Cape Town then for a couple of years. And it says, like everybody, we've done a fair bit of travelling, but Southeast Asia and Australia, etc. And we just always had it that we wanted to have a go at something. And we were always building on ideas and what we could do. And obviously, braai is a huge part of Jubal's culture in South Africa, so... When the opportunity came up, we were like, you know what, we'll just give it a go. And touch wood, it's going good so far.
Yeah, and it's the type of sort of food offering too that people will travel for it. You know, the reputation goes beyond the townland, so to speak.
Yeah, no, definitely. Since we've been, you know, it's been unbelievable to hear where people have driven from.
Well, I'm going to be coming from Downings in the not too distant future. I'm trying to get it sorted out, but I can't wait to visit just to taste the food.
Yeah, no, you know, whenever you break it down, I know sometimes when people say a word and they're not familiar to it, it can be frightening. But when you break it down, you know, we're just taking food in its simplest form, and we're getting creative with it, and we're putting it over fire. And as Jubal says, we've a 56-seater restaurant. We've nice music. We've great staff, which is brilliant. And no, we're loving it so far.
Jubal, have you had to tone down any of the spicing?
At the start, we kind of, you know, came in easy, but now we've kind of ramped it up again, and we have loads of flavors, and people seem to be enjoying it, and we keep adding more and more South African dishes, so people have kind of taken to it and embraced it.
And how would you I mean, South Africa is a very big part of the world, right, but how would you define the food if you had to?
I would say it's very 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 vibrant. It's like a melting pot of cultures, because you know, I'm from Cape Town, and back in the day it was the halfway point from Europe and India and Malaysia, so it's a very big melting pot of flavors, spices, yeah. And loads of different influence. So we try and bring that over, and then of course the wines and stuff we use is brilliant. And you know.
So another part of another element of the restaurant is that we wanted to really showcase South African wines, and we've really tried to push that, and we're growing the list every, and it's been lovely, you know, even educating people on that as well. So yeah. Now we're enjoying it.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, continued success to the pair of you. It's very exciting, isn't it? And growing all the time. Fantastic. Brilliant reputation as well, too, which you're not given that. You have to earn that. And you're doing that fantastically. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, and continued success. Okay, you can make your way, and I'll move our other two guests into these seats, if that's okay. I just want to give a quick mention here. Hi, my name is Anne McBride, and I'd be grateful if you could pass on this message for your show from Dunfanaghy Golf Club regarding the Finn Coffee Dock in Port na Blah. The parents of all the wonderful young people involved in the Finn would like to say a big thank you to Johnny and Emma for their courage, determination to take on this venture, and there are no words to describe their kindness, support, and everyone involved. The world would certainly be a much happier place if there were more people like Johnny and Emma. Well, who is this Johnny? Is it the same Johnny McClintock I have before me? Good morning, Johnny.
It is. Okay. Very kind words from Anne, so thank you very much.
Talk to me about the Finn Coffee Shop. It's located, its ethos, and what have you.
The location is in the Shore Road in Port na Blah. It's actually outside our house, just over the Middle Beach. The ethos of it is that it's a not-for-profit social enterprise. And the idea behind it was that those children or young adults that have additional needs, my wife and I's belief was that those people want to work and have a hunger to work.
Just need the opportunity.
And they're deserving of a purpose, and the opportunities just simply weren't there or aren't there in the locality because of the place where we live and the ebb and flow of businesses.
Daniel McBride is from Dunfanaghy, and this is your third summer, Daniel, working at the coffee shop.
Yes, Greg, my third summer working at the Finn Coffee Shop. I do enjoy working at the Finn. My role is I'm a waiter. I happily take orders from our great customers who have been loyal to us and who have come back to help make the Finn a great success.
Is one of the favourite parts meeting people?
Yes, for me it is, Greg. The social interaction with customers to find out what hot chocolates they would like, and would they like cream or marshmallows, or would they like?
I will have all of that. Is Johnny a good boss?
Yes, Johnny is. Johnny is a good boss.
Okay, good stuff.
To that answer is that Emma's a good boss. The enterprise is largely driven by Emma, my wife, and the backdrop to that is we have a daughter who's a little touch of cerebral palsy, and we wanted to get in front of that situation where she had a job to get up and go to.
Well, of course, and that means you're acutely aware of the fact that there aren't necessarily the openings there to the point where you had to create that opening yourself. I mean, we need to, societally, need to look at that.
We can collectively point a finger and say that the opportunities aren't there, but we also have the gift of getting in front of it by doing it ourselves. Rather than expect something to happen, go out and make it happen.
And the coffee shop is open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. summer hours, is it?
Or 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesdays to Sundays, but we close this Sunday for the season.
Okay, right, okay. And it's been a good season?
Cracking. It's been good. What we've seen a lot of is repeat customers, and I think part of the ethos brings in customers to the coffee shop, but we still have to provide a good product.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Fundamentally, that will get you so far. You need a good product, don't you? Yeah.
Getting people in is one thing. Getting them coming in repeatedly is absolutely dependent on a good product, but also a good service. I think people are, to an extent, they're understanding, but that only goes so far. Yeah,
of course, and Daniel is part of that good service, Daniel. You'll be sad to see the end of the season.
I will be, yes. I would.
Okay, but anyway.
I would have liked the season to have gone on further. But
roll on next summer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's 2026. Daniel McBride, anyone you want to say hello to Daniel while you're on the radio?
My lovely mum who's at home. I hope she tuned in to listen.
I can guarantee you that your lovely mum is listening or watching. And if she missed it, she can watch back or listen back a little later on. So there's no excuses. Daniel McBride, thank you very much indeed. And fair play to you putting in a busy summer. And as well to Johnny McClintock, co-founder of the Finn Coffee Shop with his wife, Emma. So just tell us once again where the shop is, because people have until Sunday to get a cup of coffee.
Shore Road, Port Nebla, and we're on the normal social media outlets as well.
Check them out, the Finn Valley, I'm just a pure habit. The Finn Coffee Shop, go along, say hello to Johnny, to Emma, to Daniel, and all the rest of the crew there. Okay, we'll be back with more after a break. We're joined in our studio here at the Dunfanaghy Golf Club by Jim Livingston, Bridie Gallagher's son. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Greg. It's lovely to be with you.
We're talking ahead of a very exciting event coming up on Sunday.
Well, it's all part of the Culture Week, and it finishes on Sunday. And there's a celebration of Bridie Gallagher in the workhouse in Dunfanaghy. I'll be giving a presentation with photographs and music about Bridie about 5 o'clock, but it's on all afternoon, so it's been a wonderful week to celebrate the culture of Donegal.
And what a wonderful person to be able to speak about your own mum, the girl from Donegal.
Absolutely, I'm extremely proud of her. I mean, she's synonymous with Donegal as a county. The BBC described her as Ireland's first pop star. And it's true, actually. In the late 50s, early 60s, there was nobody as popular as Bridie Gallagher. And in fact, my favourite memory is when she appeared in 1959 in the Royal Albert Hall in London to an audience of 7,500. And people don't believe me, and they say, oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, Frank Sinatra, they've all been there. And they said, yes, but what you didn't realise is that London Council changed the fire regulations so that the seating capacity of the Royal Albert Hall is now 5,000. So Bridie Gallagher's record cannot be beaten.
Which is great. And what's extra remarkable about that too is this is in a completely different era. I mean, nowadays, you know, people can build up their profile using social media. They can put their videos up. I mean, for a lady like your mum, it's seeing the white in people's eyes.
Absolutely.
I know we have records, don't get me wrong, and I don't know how easy it would have been for the likes of your mum to get on radio, but you know what I mean? It was old school grind to get as popular as she became.
Absolutely. I mean, it was hard grind, touring non-stop, and she was the first Irish artist to start touring regularly in the United States, and that was actually the key to her success.
Which is trailblazing.
Yes, it
really
is.
That's what it is. You have to call it what it is.
And the point being that if you speak to people who were living in the United States at that time, no other Irish artists were touring America, but Bridie was. So Bridie became their part of being a little bit at home at a time when most immigrants couldn't afford to go home. So that was that international popularity that really spurred her on. And to this day, even though, you know, her records generally in the UK or Ireland would be still selling at a modest rate, I still get the royalty returns. And only last month I discovered that 3 albums were sold in Vietnam, and I'm still trying to get my head around that. Who in Vietnam is buying Bridie Gallagher songs?
If you're listening in Vietnam when you call. when she came home after that success, you know, the record-breaking show in London, touring America, what was the buzz about her? Did she keep her feet on the ground? Can you say her's a son, Jim? Is there any stories there? Or was she always the girl from Donegal?
When she walked in the door, it wasn't, ta-da, the star has arrived. It was, did you do that homework?
But you know what? We here in Donegal, if you ever come back to this county with any notions of yourself, we don't belong dragging you down to ground, do we?
Oh, she was a Donegal woman, and that was it. And there's nowhere more that she loved to visit. While she lived in Belfast, she was up here all the time to see her sisters and her mum and dad while they were alive. But it was funny because in the 50s and 60s, she did a lot of work with the BBC and they got a lot of voice training. Mm. So her accent became very proper.
Yeah. We saw that with Gay Byrne too. He went through voice training and all.
Yeah, and they spoke very clear and very clear diction. I can tell you for a certain that when I was driving her up here, even when in her 80s, and we crossed the border, all of a sudden was, what a grand day that is. She became a Donegal woman again.
Your son Peter's here. Do you like Granny's music, Peter?
I do, yes. Yes.
What's your favourite song?
The Homes of Donegal.
Of course it is.
Not only that, I also play the accordion as well.
Oh, very good. That's not an easy instrument to play.
No. No, I love the sound of the accordion and...
Peter's partially sighted.
Okay. You're looking forward to Sunday. Are you looking forward to Sunday, Peter?
Yes, because I'm also playing at the event as well. I'm going to be playing the accordion.
That was supposed to be a surprise, Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, but no one's listening. It's all right. Say nothing. By the way, when Peter starts playing on Sunday, everyone go, what? What? No one told us about this. Come here. It's brilliant that you're keeping the musical legacy going, Peter. Fair play to you. Tell us about Sunday. Tickets are still available. You have to book because it's...
you have to book.
It's going to be oversubscribed potentially.
It's limited space, obviously. Yeah. But as far as I've heard, it's proving to be very popular.
Brilliant.
There'll also be some of her dresses on display because they're held. I donated all our dresses to the Anne Greenan Theatre in Letterkenny, so they will be displaying some of the dresses, and there'll also be some musicians there performing some of her songs.
Yeah, and by the way, is your book still in print, Jim? I know you did write a book, but it gives a really interesting insight, not into unlike the stuff that we talked of, but with all the highs, sometimes there come lows.
Yeah.
So that book is out there if people are interested, if they weren't aware of it.
Absolutely. I will have some copies available on Sunday.
On Sunday? Well, there you go. Yeah. Another excuse to go. Yeah. So that's The Workhouse proudly presenting Sunday the 24th of August at 5 p.m. a celebration of Bridie Gallagher, the girl from Donegal, and Jim Livingston, her own son, will be there, of course, as will her grandson Peter, playing... he's not going to be playing the accordion, so don't turn up for that, all right? But if he did, it'd be some surprise. Go ahead.
The Homes of Donegal.
All right. Peter, listen, thanks so much for having a quick chat with us.
No
Jim,
problem.
Lovely to chat to you as well. And what an easy thing to talk about, isn't it, your mum? Okay, back with more, including some live music here after the break. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're broadcasting live here from Dunfanaghy Golf Club. It's part of their Ronald McDonald House Golf Classic. Have a look out there, Shannon. It's beautiful. We've got some live music for you now. We have Paul Ward and his sons. Not all your sons. Aidan Ward, Mark Ward. Okay, both your sons. Paul, talk to us about what you're up to this weather.
We're doing very busy this weather, doing a lot of gigging. I do solo work as well, and the Humble Earthworm Band that this is. We're quite busy this weather, summertime, and everybody's enjoying themselves, so music's a big part of that.
Introduce the band to us, Paul.
Okay. Over here on lead guitars, my son Mark.
Is that not where you do something fancy on the lead guitar, Mark? No?
That's where you should do something fancy. Mark's We have, Mark's just getting his leaving cert results, so we still don't know yet. He hasn't checked. I just told him.
A brief prediction, what do you think? How do you think you're going to do?
It's not looking very good.
Excellent, I like your positivity. Don't worry, you've always got the music to fall back on. And who else is playing with you?
This is Stephen on the drums, Stephen Devenny. He's our percussionist and drummer. And then my other son, Aidan, here is standing in for Sandra, my sister, today on bass.
You didn't do your leaving cert yesterday?
No, I did that a long time ago.
All right, listen, we are going to hear two songs from the Humble Earthworms. We had to get them in at this time of the day because they're booked out every other time of the day. And what are we going to do? Land Down Under first? All right, this is Paul Ward and Mark and Aidan and Stephen, and this is their track, Land Down Under. That one cleared the cobwebs, it has to be said. Paul, I mean, you said flat out, right? Everyone knows the Humble Earthworms. Well, what's the breakdown of your gigs like between, I suppose, you know, the private gigs, public gigs and that kind of stuff?
Well, there's a lot of equal amount. We do weddings, we do parties, we do gigs and bars. We have a gig coming up in the Jazz and Blues Festival here shortly on the 14th, Sunday the 14th in the Oyster. So we're really looking forward to that. That's a great, Don Fanny puts on a great show, and we're proud to be part of that.
Listen, thank you so much for calling in and playing some music for us, of course. They've got the full set, well, not the full setup, but a big setup here for us, and we really do appreciate it. And Paul, take it away. We're going to have one more.
Okay, Mark.
Okay, that was the amazing Humble Earthworms. Mark, good luck with the exams today. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Thank you very much.
Lol. I'm only messing. I'm sure it will. Thanks so very much for that. Paul, Mark, Aidan, what a talented family. And Stephen Devaney doing an amazing job there on drums, stroke. You can turn that camera off now. I'm finished talking to them, Shannon. Come on over here. You've got work to do. Thanks very much for that. All right, just to remind you, by the way, that coming up in the not-too-distant future, John Breslin's going to be doing a draw for €2,500. It's part of Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw. There's $2,500 this Friday, $2,500 next Friday, $2,500 the following Friday, and then $10,000 on that same last Friday of that draw. If you want to be in all four draws, you need to get in touch with us right now. 07491 25000. We'll process your tickets, get your name in that draw drum, or if you prefer, go on to our website. It's probably handier. 07074. Go on to our website, highlandradio.com. Maybe phone numbers for websites wouldn't be a bad idea. Shannon, squeezing you in as always. Shannon Wilkins tries every Friday to keep me somewhat relevant in the world of social media. What is trending? What's happening? What are we talking about? Over to you, Shannon.
So I myself am on an EP buzz. So my For You page
Electric
has
Picnic,
turned into
by the way.
Picnic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
When is that?
It is starting next Friday, but you can go and set up your gear on the Thursday.
Just when are you going? Because you're going.
Yeah, I'm going to go down on the Thursday, get this tent set up. You need to buy these wee trolleys and everything because you can't haul all your stuff in. Wellies, all that gear.
And who's playing?
So we have got Hosier.
Yes.
We've got Chapel Roan.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have got Kneecap. Mm. Kings of Leon.
Yeah. Kings of Leon. Okay.
Kings of Leon.
It's every other one I'm interested in. Chapel Roan. You can have Kneecap if you wish. Kings of Leon. Fantastic. Yeah. Who else?
you know what, my brain is just completely overloaded. Sam Fender, exactly.
Well, Sam Fender, he's playing in Belfast, and I would, that's a gig I'd actually go to. He's doing a full show. He's brilliant. He is absolutely fantastic. So he's playing, and very exciting. So who are you most looking forward to seeing as a young and relevant person?
I've seen Kneecap twice now, so I'm excited to see them for the third time because I just think they have this real energy about them. And Hozier is also an amazing performer. Like, he kind of gets you in the feels, even just with the music. So,
and there is some talk of Hozier's Take Me to Church, isn't it? And all that, isn't it? No, it is, yeah. Of course, Take Me to Church, and of course the other one that was out recently. Okay, so are you going to be able to join us next Friday live from Electric Picnic?
I am going to try my best.
If you get your tent set up on Thursday,
the camera out and everything. I don't know whereabouts I'll be. Maybe it'll be a mucky field, but there'll be something or someone tipping about.
Yeah, I think I'd feel extra relevant and young if I was able to speak to you from Electric Picnic next Friday.
So it'll be exciting.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, thanks for that. We look forward to it, and we look forward to your reports about Electric Picnic. Okay, that's next week. But that's where we kind of have to leave it. In fact, have to leave it on the show today. Thank you so much to everyone here at the Dunfanaghy Golf Club who've been so hospitable. And it genuinely feels like a very open, fun and inclusive golf club. And to all of the teams that have entered the Classic today, raising money for Ronald McDonald House, which is looking to expand and increase capacity. And we're going to have one final word, are we? Sit down there if you've got something to say. You've got 30 seconds, Victor. What did you want to say? This better be good.
Had to come in with this. We had a team teed off at 7 a.m. this morning.
Yes, is that them box over there?
No, the two boys outside, and the other two have had to go straight to work. But one of them, Sean Gallagher, had a hole-in-one on the ninth this morning.
So is he not great things happening. Is he not supposed to be in here buying everyone a drink?
Well, he'll be back later for the presentation, so I'm sure he will. I'll text you to have a look. So, well done to Sean Gallagher from Amazona in town there in Letterkenny.
Well done.
So 7 a.m. this morning, so well done.
They don't come around very often.
Had to get that out there.
Super stuff. Thank you, and thanks for hosting us. Thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, Shannon Wilkins, a great help, and of course, Mark Gallagher keeping us on the air, and everyone back at base. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you Monday morning at 9, all being well. But stay tuned. John Breslin and 2.5 grand is on the way after the news at 12.